St. Paul says tonight to bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. I want to talk tonight just briefly about why I'm getting ready to be away for 10 weeks, because I think it ties into Lent and one of the many teachings that makes Catholicism so unique. It's teaching on suffering. A brief backstory. It was in the Criterion last week, our diocesan newspaper, so most of you probably saw that. I'm thankful for Sean Gallagher's write-up there about the story. If you didn't see it, in 2018, I was in that confessional back there after a daily mass, and I had just read throughout the past couple of days lots of fairly lengthy, but summarizing the 1,400-page Pennsylvania grand jury report on priestly abuse, and I cried for 20 minutes in the confessional. Thankfully, no one came in for confession. That would have been a little awkward, probably. In that moment, well, I would say probably a couple days later, I was in the rectory, and I made a prayer. I said, Lord, and I thought about it. I know enough to know that you don't make this prayer lightly. And I said, Lord, if there's some suffering that I can take on for victims of abuse, I do that willingly. And I would accept that and welcome that. And so, about a month ago, as soon as the words came out of the doctor's mouth, I knew that my brain tumor was the answer to that prayer 2 years ago. I want to answer a few questions about that, because a lot of people have questions, and some of them, obviously, they're good questions. And I think these questions are also the same questions that people ask us as Catholics in general about suffering. They ask you about why you're giving up chocolate and Lent and all the other things that you do, the no meat on Fridays, etc. These same questions, I think, apply to us in this Lenten season in our Catholic Church and its crazy teachings on suffering. Question one, why don't you suffer silently? Why are you letting people know what you are doing? I think most of the time we should suffer silently. We should offer our Lent up. We shouldn't be broadcasting at work on the day after Ash Wednesday. You won't believe how hard my penances have been, and telling all of our coworkers about that kind of thing, or telling, you know, social media, this has been the hardest Lent ever, it's heroic, you know, those kinds of things. Jesus says the Pharisees blew trumpets before they gave alms, right? And he said in that Ash Wednesday homily, Jesus said, when you give alms, do it silently. Do not let our left hand know what our right is doing. And so certainly there are times, most of the time, where we are to take on our sufferings quietly. But the travesty of priests and bishops and cardinals committing grave sins has been very public. And I felt the Holy Spirit telling me that this reparation should also be public. I and most of you have done lots of silent suffering for others and for victims of priestly abuse over these past 50 years. You know that, I think, in this case, I just want you to know that I feel totally vindicated by going public. The reason for that is that I am now able to bring up with me this coming week 157 names of victims/survivors who have reached out to me and who have asked me to pray for them, and who I've been able to communicate with over these past month to express sorrow for them, to talk with them, some of them on the phone. That would not have been able to happen if I had done this silently. Question two, are you saying that because you have a brain tumor, surgery, radiation, and chemo, that you know what someone else's suffering was like, abuse victim, etc.? And the answer to that is no. I'm not saying that. None of us as Catholics say that by taking on some kind of suffering that we know what everyone else's suffering is like. There's this weird thing in our culture of intersectionality where we argue over whether or not you know what my suffering is like and I know what yours is, and yours is worse than mine and mine is worse than yours. It's very weird. But the church doesn't, I'm not saying, and the 157 people that I'm talking to and have talked to, there was none of that. There was none of that comparison of suffering or anything along those lines. We don't know what other people's pain is like. It doesn't mean that we can't offer ours for them. Question number three, another good question. Why would your suffering help me? Why would God doing this to you, giving you this cross, why would that help me? And the answer to that is I'm not saying it should help anyone. I'm not walking in saying, well, hey, everybody, I'm here to fix the problem. Just like your Lenten fast and the things that you do, most of it off the radar, unseen, unknown to others, is not you walking in and saying, I'm here to fix the world. I totally understand if someone hurt by a Catholic cleric sees my story and isn't moved one inch closer to the church. I'm totally sympathetic to that. And I respect that. Again, I'm not walking into their life and saying, I'm here to help save the day and suffer for you. But what I can also say is that while my suffering, taking it on, might not help you, and has helped 157 other people who have said, I really appreciate this. I might not be back to church yet. Some people have said they still can't step into a Catholic church without getting post-traumatic stress syndrome. But this, Father, this thing, this act has helped me. I respect those who say it doesn't help them, and I'm moved deeply by the relationships, though, that I've started to establish with these 157 people who have said it helps them. There will be people, if you have something where you decide to tell someone about you taking on some kind of suffering for them, that won't understand it or won't appreciate it. And that's totally okay. We do it anyway. Paul, in tonight's second reading, says, bear your share of hardship for the gospel. He doesn't say, do it when people understand it. The fourth question. Are you saying that people should move on now from this crisis or stop seeking justice? That's an absolute definitive no. I'm not suffering so that someone will stop fighting for justice, nor is this a please don't sue the church and take my brain tumor as a substitute. I want justice for every victim, right? And I will continue to do everything in my power to help anyone find justice that I can. There are two points of suffering. There are others. But the two major points that we hear from the church on suffering, through its saints, through the scriptures, and everywhere else we look, there are two major things about suffering. One, it draws the sufferer closer to God. It draws that person that is enduring the suffering, if they do not think that it is the torture of a madman, lunatic deity who's just wants to do it, right? If we can recognize that it's not happening for that reason, typically suffering is an opportunity, if we understand it, to draw closer to God, because the stuff that doesn't matter starts to fade away in the face of suffering. And I realize what's true and what is good. And the second thing that our tradition says about suffering is that it helps us love others and sympathize with them. Our prayer on Ash Wednesday, as we are fasting, is for the people starving all over the world, that me not eating meat might help me draw some inch closer in love to the person who's eating mud today. Suffering helps us love others and sympathize with them, even, again, if it's not the exact same thing that they're doing. Here's what I'll say in conclusion, getting back to Lent and to St. Paul telling us that we should bear our share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. I want to brag for a second, and you might say, Father, you've been bragging for 10 minutes. But I want to brag not about this story, like not the side that people have been seeing and has been getting attention, right? I'm going to brag about this. I am as happy, as full of joy and peace and calm as I've ever been tonight. And I want to shout that from the rooftops. And here's why. Saint Pope Paul VI said that people do not listen to teachers anymore. And any of you that are teaching anywhere know that. People do not listen to teachers anymore, he said back in the 60s. He said they listen to witnesses. They listen to witnesses. And so if that's true, and I think it is, then we better get down to witnessing if we want to speak to people. We live in a world that is racked by fear of death, fear of viruses, terrorism, anxieties, loneliness, depression, torture, slavery, cruelties of every kind. We know that. And I have a message right now that flies in the face of all who are racked by pain. And I know exactly why St. Paul says what he says to the Corinthians through a little short teaching in his 1 Corinthians. He starts out by saying this. I'm just going to read you the highlights really quickly. He says, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are dying, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." St. Paul tells the Corinthians, look, this whole idea of suffering looks like foolishness to the people that are racked by fear of pain, death, viruses, terrorism, war, anxiety, loneliness, depression. The idea that we should see all this suffering and go into it and suffer more seems, he says, like foolishness. And that's true 2,000 years later. But then St. Paul goes on and says, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. We proclaim a Christ who runs into the suffering and says, give me some of that. Not as a masochist, not for the sake of it, but because that's the path. You show people, right? You take it on. And you say, I'm not afraid of that. All of you are. I don't mean you. The world in general is afraid of the suffering, and we do a lot, and typically in the world, to medicate and insulate ourselves from suffering. Jesus Christ originally picked up his cross and said, come follow me when I go in there. And then he says this, St. Paul ends this whole sort of walking through the Corinthians. He says this, whoever boasts, boast in the Lord. That's the end of the chapter. Right? If you're going to brag, brag that your suffering, that following Christ works. Tell people that. And so I'm here to brag. I'm here to brag in the sense of saying that in doing this, in taking this on, I want to tell the people that are racked by fear of everything, tonight, with a brain tumor and on this verge of surgery and chemo and radiation, I'm as happy and as full of joy and gratitude as I've ever been in my entire life. And I'm not acting because I can't act. Lent provides these small little ways to bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. Little small things that no one else will ever see. Because at some point, if you haven't already, and most of you probably already have, at some point in our lives, we will hit suffering that people will see. We will hit suffering that people will see. And if we've trained through Lent, after Lent, after Lent, and hopefully outside of Lent, in unseen battles that no one else sees and no one else knows, then we will be ready when the big battles come. And hopefully we will be able to stand up in the face of the storm and of the battle like Christ did and shout to a world full of people who are besieged by fear on every side and are paralyzed. And you and I will be able to boast in the Lord. His cross brings pain, but it brings joy and peace. Lots of you have been hurt by false teachers. Lots of people in the world have been hurt by false teachers. You and I stand up and we say, "Behold the Lamb of God who goes into the suffering. Let's go follow him." We boast in the cross. And that basically means that you and I are supposed to stand up and shout to the world and to anyone who will listen, even the ones that will call you mad. It means we stand up and shout out, "The cross works." Taking on suffering when you don't have to, it works. And it brings joy, and it brings fear, and it brings a freedom from all those crippling anxieties and things that besiege the world that doesn't know that. If this story gives you a moment of pause to now listen to me for a second, let me tell you, please stop trying to do it your way. Be sad no more. Do not be afraid. The Bible tells us that 365 times. Do not be alone. Do not be numb anymore. Come out of the shadows. Stop doing and saying what you think other people want you to do or say. Bear your share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. If you do that, and only if you do that, you will find life and you will find it abundantly.